Backseat Box Office, episode number 65 for the weekend of December 16th through the 18th, 2011. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Jonathan.
And we have no Andrew again. We haven't heard from him, though, either. So he may show up. You never know.
Might wake up in the middle of a whatever nap he's having.
Stumble over some wires and... Because that's never happened
before. Wouldn't be the first time.
All right, so... yeah, this week's going to suck. Just throwing that out there right now for everybody. And you may want to listen. Hopefully you're listening to this episode, because otherwise you could see some things happening at the box office and the results this weekend that you could be confused about. Because there is a movie that is not technically opening wide, but could just cause problems for us. Maybe. There's another movie that is expanding to wide. That is likely probably not going to cause me problems. But it could. You never know.
It could.
So, before we get that far, we should probably talk about how things are going, you know, now. What happened last week?
Hell if I know.
You don't know?
I can look it up.
Screw it. Let's skip it. No. Last week we had two wide releases, New Year's Eve and The Sitter. And New Year's Eve came in first, $13 million on 3,500 screens. The Sitter came in second, pulling in just under $10 million at 2,750 screens. Breaking Dawn came in third with $7.8 million. The Muppets came in fourth, $7 million. Arthur Christmas in fifth with 6.5. Hugo in sixth with 6 million. And The Descendants with 4.4 million. We are going to stop at seventh place because, again, just like last week, below seventh doesn't matter. I think we established last week, if you're below seventh, you kind of suck. Keep in mind where some of the hosts are placing in the leaderboard when we get to that.
Yeah. Let's face it. If you're below sixth, you kind of suck. And I am allowed to say that.
That's fair. Yeah.
If there's anybody on the podcast that gets to call out anybody who made a pick worse than sixth place, it's me.
Yeah, you and Mrs. Beast. You guys share that honor.
Yeah. Sorry, Mrs. Beast.
Yeah, hopefully she didn't just copy off of you, because that was a bad mistake.
Did she put it in the same place I did?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys had the exact same picks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
So, the way it worked out, last week, Jonathan picked New Year's Eve at number one, The Descendants at number two, Breaking Dawn at number three, The Sitter at number four, and Muppets at number five.
I like how you're still in results show mode.
Yeah.
Because normally we expect the, you know, individuals to...
Well, I was just throwing that out there because I figured it was painful for you to say.
You know, my problem was I saw that The Descendants was going to wide release. I was like, that'll be great. It'll open in 2,000-3,000 theaters. Maybe not three. Maybe that's a little bit much. It'll like 1,500 to 2,000 theaters. That'll be really good. I mean, it's getting such good buzz and like so much. It's got to open big, right? I forgot that wide release is considered anything over 800 theaters, which was like 200 more than it released in last week. So, yeah, not going to make that mistake again.
Yeah, so that kind of sucked. Jonathan, you ended up with 17 this week. In other interesting news, Andrew pick New Year's Eve at number one, Breaking Dawn at number two, The Sitter at number three, Hugo at number four, and Muppets at number five. He got a 20 this week. You guys are now tied. Dead on tie for 10th place.
Still in the top 10, baby.
Still in the top 10. Though, technically, if you look at the list, your name is in the 11th place spot because Andrew had better scores than you did last week. Not that I'm rubbing it in or anything.
Still in the top 10.
And
I don't think that's how that should work, actually. I think we should be tied for 11.
No, you're tied for 10th.
Shouldn't we be tied for...
No, there's a 9th place, and then you guys are tied for 10th. Then there's no 11th, and then there's 12th. Oh,
is that how that works?
Yeah, because there's two people tied for 5th, then there's no 6th place.
Oh.
Then there's a 7th, 8th, 9th, then there's two people tied for 10th. Then 12th, 13th, 14th.
See, these are all numbers, and that's my problem. Because numbers are far too closely related to the maths, so... I don't know why I bothered to ask, because I should have known I was just wrong.
For those who are playing along at home, at the top of the leaderboard, BD and I were 3 points apart going into last weekend. Friday's estimates had me getting a 23 and BD getting a 19. I would have been beating him if we went on Friday's estimates. Come Sunday, things changed. I had New Year's Eve at number one, The Sitter at number two, Breaking Dawn at number three. Those three were all right. Hugo at number four, which ended up in sixth, and Muppets in fifth, which ended up in fourth. I got a 22. BD got a 21. So I got 1 point closer, but he's still in first place. Now by 2 points. And we now have confirmation from Andrew.
Yep.
Negative Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. So I'm still a little weirded out by last week's zombie editing. So... for anyone listening at home, there was an odd tweet from Andrew on, like, was it on sometime over the weekend? He edited the podcast last week for us, got about halfway through the podcast, and doesn't remember finishing editing the podcast. Fun note.
I missed that.
Fun thing to note. He included picks at the end of the podcast, in that last half of the podcast, that he doesn't even remember editing. Doesn't remember recording his picks. That happened. So I think he was a little bit freaked out by that. That could be another part of the reason why he's not showing up tonight. You have anything else to talk about last week?
No.
What are you doing over there? You're distracted by something.
Oh, I was looking through Andrew's Twitter to figure out where he lost his time.
Yeah, so... you know what? Let's go ahead and take a break here and listen to Tom's Backseat Box Office UK.
Sounds good.
Hello, this is Tom calling in with the Backseat Box Office for the UK. And that's the weekend of the 9th to the 11th of December. I'm calling in this time from Trafalgar Square, one of the main sort of like tourist spots in the centre of London. Actually, from where I'm standing, I can see both the National Gallery and I can also see Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament in the distance as well. Trafalgar Square commemorates the British victory at the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805, when a smaller English fleet managed to beat the combined fleet of the French and Spanish Navy. And it was that defeat that kind of set the stage for the British Empire taking control of the large section of the world, being so powerful. And there's actually a column in commemoration of the battle with a statue of Nelson at the top. He actually died in the battle, and he's kind of a great British hero for that reason, that he led them to that victory. So that's just a bit of history there anyway. Looking at the top five for this week, in first place, new release Puss in Boots, which grossed $3,097,091 in 510 theatres. So that's a big release, and as expected, got the top spot. In second place is last week's number one, Arthur Christmas. That grossed $2,241,469, and that's down about 24% on the week. In third place, another new release, New Year's Eve. That grossed $2,015,161, and that's showing in 431 theatres. In fourth place, remaining there from last week, is Hugo. $1,148,857. So that's down nearly 40%. So quite a big drop there. And in fifth place is last week's number two, Happy Feet 2, which grossed only $1,135,100. And that's down nearly 57%. Other big drops. The Twilight Saga dropped from third to sixth, down 60%. Another new release was A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, which opened in 8th place, only grossing $288,112, and that's only in 131 screens, so it's about roughly a quarter of the size of an average release in this country. And another new release in 10th place was Another Earth. That only grossed $142,568, and that was on only 116 screens, so both of those had very small openings, and as a result had very small grosses. So that's everything from me this time, and I'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
And or not.
Or not.
One of the two.
Or there's going to be this really long, awkward pause where I bitch about the picks again. So I think I'm ready. We should talk about what's going on at the box office, like in general terms. So we've got two new wide releases, a new release that is not wide but has the potential of making a lot of money, and a limited release that is now expanding to wide release, that is getting a lot of... I've been seeing commercials for it a lot on television. So the movies...
This is one of my other downfalls is... Yeah. A, not good at the maths. B, don't have TV, so don't know what the hell is going on as far as marketing.
Yeah, that could be problematic.
I think I'm going to blame that. I'm going to blame my Descendants pick on that. That's what I'm going to do.
That's fair. It's got a little bit of marketing. If that's what you want to do, you go right ahead. So the two new wide release movies are Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, and Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked.
I want to come up with some sort of joke for Sherlock Holmes, but I just can't think of it.
Yeah.
As opposed to Holmes.
Holmes? Sherlock Holmes? In doing the research, we realized before I hit record that... The first Sherlock Holmes film with Robert Downey Jr. in it, and Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, the two previous movies in these respective franchises, were both released the same weekend 2 years ago. Alvin and the Chipmunks was released on the 23rd of December, Sherlock Holmes on the 25th of December. So, ostensibly the same weekend. So I just find that humorous. The other thing was they both made a considerable amount of money in their opening weekends and were not in first place because this was the week after Avatar opened.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think Mission Impossible is going to pull an Avatar, though. So I think we're safe there.
No, I don't think it's going to... Yeah, no, I don't think we have that to worry about.
At least not in its limited opening weekend.
Yeah, so Mission Impossible is opening this weekend, but it's an IMAX-only opening in 400 theaters. add to that, I don't know if all of them or just some of them will have 6 minutes, like a 6 minute, I've heard some people calling a 6 minute prequel. I don't think that's accurate. I think it's the first 6 minutes of The Dark Knight.
Yeah, from what an article I read, it sounded like the way Dark Knight opened with the Joker
bank
robbing the bank.
Right.
Yeah, the bank heist. It's some similar sequence with Bane.
Right.
It like begins Dark Knight Rises.
And that was released early, too, by my recollection. I remember seeing that well in advance of seeing the movie in the theater.
Yeah, that was in... what was the article? The article said it was... They did the same thing. They released it in IMAX only. It was that opening sequence, and it was in front of...
You know what's sad is I haven't seen this yet, and it's been in the wild for 24 hours at this point. So I need to go look on the internet. I am so dedicated to this podcast, I will wait until after we're done recording. So let's hurry.
You haven't seen what yet?
The 6 minutes.
It's on the internet?
It's been in the wild for 24 hours. If it's not on the internet, somebody, many people, fail me. Because it's probably on the internet somewhere.
See, I'm actually thinking about avoiding it. Like, and just as a side note, this is a complete non sequitur, but I need to bring it up now or else I will forget. I pulled up the Dark Knight page, and I was looking at the worldwide box office. The worldwide box office caught my eye. And it's like 1 million something. I immediately thought, you know, if they just made a couple million more, they could just call that a... Wait, no, the money doesn't work like gigabytes do. Damn it. Sorry. Anyway. I was like, what is the... No, is it a giga... Is it a gigadollar? No, wait, no.
Why, no, that's not... unfortunately, that's not how that works.
Can you tell it's getting to the end of the semester?
Yeah. It's really bad. You've got a final tomorrow, and that's the last final, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Okay, so the last movie that we have is Young Adult. Or is it Young Adults?
Young Adult, I think.
A Young Adult. This movie is...
I Am Legend. It was the IMAX versions of I Am Legend.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Trying to bolster that movie, I guess. Yeah. So Young Adult is expanding to 1,000 screens. It's getting... I've seen some commercials for it. It looks... And I read a review that was not very flattering. Mm-hmm. Though this movie is... it's directed by... Isn't it Reitman's kid?
Yeah, Jason Reitman.
Yeah. So Jason Reitman directed it. Diablo Cody wrote it. It stars Charlize Theron, Patton Oswalt, Patrick Wilson, and Elizabeth Reeser. I only know two of those names. John Malkovich is an executive producer on this movie. But, it just doesn't... I don't know. There's something about it that just doesn't feel like a mainstream movie. It feels like it's going for an Oscar grab kind of film.
Yeah, I... speaking of it, another Reitman child, I really like Catherine Reitman's Breaking It Down. She does like a movie review video thing on YouTube every Saturday.
Oh, really?
She did. She did Young Adult, and I'm sure you have to take a little bit of it with a grain of salt, since you know she's
related
his sister.
Yeah.
But she calls it more... She seems to think it's described it more as like a dark kind of, almost a dark comedy. So,
yeah, I get that from the commercial. I see that.
Without the kind of Hollywood happy ending that you'd expect. So, yeah, I can see this being... I don't know. It might have more potential than... I don't know. I don't know why I'm actually talking about it, because I haven't even seen a trailer yet. So maybe I should just stop.
I would think with a 1,000 theater release, that tends to speak more toward them just trying to hold on through Sherlock Holmes, then Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
To wait it out until January when things get really crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not putting a lot of weight behind that movie. It could be a mistake, but I don't know. I get this vibe.
Sorry.
What's that?
So I just saw Next Week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's coming. Mm. Next week is going to be terrible. Next week is going to be insane.
Two of these movies open on Sunday.
Yeah, well, because Sunday is Christmas Day. Two of these movies open on Wednesday.
We'll deal with that next week, I guess.
Yeah, so next week, just as a preview, The Adventures of Tintin, The Darkest Hour, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, War Horse, and We Bought a Zoo are all in wide release.
Goody.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. I'm ready to give my picks.
Well, it's about damn time.
Number one, Sherlock. I think Sherlock Holmes has got what it takes to stand above the chipmunks. Mm-hmm. And that is a moral pick as well as it is a pick that I have researched. Because I don't want the chipmunks to be in first place. I realize there is a possibility that it can happen. But I don't want it to happen.
I'm actively blocking out that option from my mind.
In second place, I am still in the competition here, so Chipmunks is going to come in second.
There is still reality to deal with.
This is still a challenge. In third place...
Unlike Andrew and I, you are actually competing for a significant portion of the...
Yeah, that's true. I could end up still in second next week. I'm going to go with Mission Impossible for third place. I know it's kind of a risky pick, but looking at the next competitor is New Year's Eve, and with its stellar performance of $13 million, I have a feeling it's going to drop pretty handily.
Yeah.
And it's gonna dip well below $10 million, I think. I don't know. I think Mission Impossible has the potential of cracking $10 million. It might be. Oh, it could end up at $4 million, but I don't know. I'm willing to roll those dice. It's probably not the safest pick I've made, but I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna go with Mission Impossible in third. I think from there on, you just have to look at how things are performing currently. And New Year's Eve is in fourth, and Sitter's in fifth. I don't really think there's a whole lot of question to those happening. Mm. I just can't imagine young adults making that much money. It could. I could be way wrong. It could pull $7-8 million and come in fourth place, mm-hmm. in third place. If Mission Impossible doesn't perform well. But I'm going to hedge my bets. This is what I'm going with. I'm making my risky play with Mission Impossible. That's my picks.
Well, our picks look really similar. I'm with you. Sherlock Holmes is the only morally appropriate number one. That puts the Rodents at number two. And I'm putting Mission Impossible at number three as well, just because I think that New Year's Eve, you've got kind of an action. I mean, my feel has been that it's a bit action comedy, buddy cop in the Sherlock Holmes era kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You've got the family movie. You got the full-on action movie. I just don't see, I don't know. Maybe the fact that this movie didn't do too well is a sign that perhaps we're getting over our celebrity obsession. God, that'd be nice. Pack a movie with 85 billion celebrities and expect it to do well. But I could see it dropping. I mean, I don't think a 50% drop is all that unreasonable. And that puts it at $6.5-7 million.
Right.
You know, and that's only, that's still $20,000 a theater over the weekend from for Mission Impossible. But you figure all of the nerds out there who want to get their first glimpse of Dark Knight, you figure it's, you know, a Mission Impossible movie. Those tend to do well anyway.
And it's the first Brad Bird live action directed film.
Yeah.
I think there are going to be people that are going to see it for that. I mean, I think that's the thing I'm most excited about Mission Impossible, that Brad Bird is behind it, and he's earned my cred, you know, between Iron Giant and Incredibles and Ratatouille. Okay, yeah. You know, make a movie that I won't like. I challenge you. Throwing down the gauntlet, Brad Bird.
Yeah.
Screw something up bad.
But, I mean, you know, if young adult can pull $40,000 per theater on 8 screens, it seems at least plausible that Mission Impossible can do half that on 400 screens with as much as it's got going for it. And, you know, the increased ticket price and the Dark Knight draw and that kind of thing. So it's a risk, but that's where I'm putting it. At number 4, I don't see anything. I'm going to disagree with you about young adult and the money it has a chance to make, but I don't see it making in the $7-8 million range. But if the Sitter, you know, a Sitter opens at $10 million. If it drops 50%, that's 5. If it drops 60 to 70%, which it doesn't seem like it's got legs, I could see that happening. That puts it in the $3-4 million range, and that you only need, you know, young adult only needs 5,000 a theater once it hits 1,000 theaters. So that's what I'm. That's where I think I'm going to put young adult, is at number 5. I think it has. I don't think it has a chance of overtaking New Year's Eve, but I do think it has a chance of overcoming the Sitter. So
that's possible. Yeah, I can see that as a scenario.
At the very least, it's probably. I shouldn't say this. It seems less likely to screw me over like the Descendants did.
that's fair. The Descendants has kind of been a gamble.
Yeah, well, and it's been out for a while, and, you know, it was kind of a mistake. I was expecting more theaters. Had it gone, I think if it had gone into 15 or 2,000 theaters, then, they would have made that decision based on their belief that they could make a lot of money off of it.
Right.
And then they, you know, they kept it small, and the you know, it didn't lose much ground, but it also didn't go anywhere. So, you know. That was my expectation, was that it was going to significantly increase its number of theaters, not get 300 more. So, but, you know, you figure, plus that was what, Descendants has been out for 4 weeks. So young adult's been out for 1. And so this is the first time a whole bunch of people have the opportunity to see it. You know, the Descendants was in all kinds of markets, even if it wasn't in all kinds of theaters. So this is one of those situations where the expansion could be really big. So I don't know. I figure it can't be worse than picking the Descendants at 2. So.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think young adult has a chance of being in that 5th, 6th, 7th place range, just kind of depending on how everything else does. I think one of the bigger questions is, how is Mission Impossible really going to do? Mm-hmm. But I think you've got the way of it right, that it's got a lot going for it.
Yeah.
It really does have a lot of reason for people to see it. And being IMAX exclusive, the ticket prices tend to be a little higher. People are going to see it for Batman, for the acting talent that's in it. Simon Pegg, Jeremy Renner, Tom Cruise. and then because of Brad Bird as well, and just because of the property. So yeah, yeah, it all makes sense.
And I mean, it's not like it's going up against a movie that made $20-30 million last week.
True.
You know,
true.
It didn't have a strong weekend last week.
Yeah.
So there's nothing,
it would
there's
be
nothing
a,
major
it
that
would be
he's
a,
really fighting against.
Yeah, it would be a much bigger question mark if New Year's Eve would have made in the $20-25 million range. That would be a big question mark then.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty confident in that third place pick. All right. So, Andrew, what do you got?
What's up, movie fans? This is Andrew. I'm excited this week. Sherlock Holmes coming out, debuting in 3,700 theaters. I'm looking forward to seeing the sequel to the franchise. Chipwrecked, my son is quite excited to see the third movie in that sequence as well. So we've already talked. They're actually off tomorrow afternoon from school, so I think there's a good chance we'll probably go see Chipwrecked tomorrow afternoon, and hopefully I can find some time during the weekend to sneak in a little Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows. But to my picks, at number one, I have Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows. Number two, I have the Squeakquel, and not the Squeakquel, I'm sorry, Chipwrecked, the third Chipmunks movie. I'm doing this off my phone, but the first Sherlock Holmes and actually the Squeakquel, the second Chipmunk movie, actually grossed in the same ballpark with each other. From quickly glancing at it. So, you know, but feeling that Sherlock Holmes will do better at the box office. Number three, I'm just going to go ahead and put New Year's Eve there and let it stay in the three spot. And then I think four and five, it's a battle of who's going to drop quicker, The Sitter or The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. Plus, you've got Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol in 435 theaters, and I think they're IMAX theaters. So, you know, the type of tools we're talking about, they could completely be a spoiler if they get out and are well attended. But I think I'm going to play it safe. I think I'm just going to go ahead and put The Sitter at number four and then Twilight at number five. I don't think I'm going to step out on any ledges on this one. You guys have a great weekend. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. So,
I thought we were just
no. Assuming. Now we're back. now we need to talk about this. So first point. Scott points out, I'm not surprised the phrase genital warts showed up while listening to you. I'm just surprised it was an ad.
I am disappointed I haven't worked
targeted
that
is,
earlier.
That is targeted advertising.
Chlamydia. <Yeah. laughs>
All right, so you asked the question.
Andrew's not going to edit this episode, is he?
No, I am. Does this shit is staying in.
Yeah, but the question is, do you think he listens to the episodes that he doesn't edit?
He does.
If he's here next week, it would be great to just like spout out random diseases, gonorrhea, just at random points in the episode.
There was a discussion that was clipped from last week's episode. To be fair, I think Andrew probably made the right choice. It was
to be honest, I don't remember what
it was. It was the Vigenettes discussion, the etymology of the word. Let's just leave it there. Because I'm not editing this, but I think I am editing it, but I won't cut this out. I think Andrew made the right choice in cutting that discussion because we mention it, and then there's laughter. And then the discussion just changes. It's pretty great. So it's like it was a bonus for anybody in the chat room.
Fantastic.
Keep in mind, Wednesday nights, we do this live. It's in. You can listen to us as we do it, and you can comment and hear the parts that get cut out when Andrew edits. All right. So the question came up. Yeah. So early this evening, we had a discussion about the movie Heathers, which Adam didn't care for. So Adam does one of a couple different things when he doesn't care for a movie. One of his options is he gets sick and can't make it. Second option, he does everything, he talks about anything but the movie, to the point of delaying the start of the podcast for 20 minutes. Like, we'll start, we'll do the introductions, and then he will go on stories for the next 20 minutes. It's like, oh, weren't we supposed to talk about a movie? His third thing, and what he did tonight, was he just destroyed the podcast. Disruptive. Everything was wrong. Hated everything about it. Didn't know anybody we were talking about, even though he knew them. So, at the end, somehow the conversation got back around to Superman. And he starts explaining why he doesn't like Superman. And his description of the parts of why he doesn't like it aren't based on fact. He's like, so first, Lex Luthor gives Superman the choice. Save the world or save Lois Lane. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in the movie. What? No. He shoots the missiles. Superman has to decide which missile to destroy first. He doesn't get to the second one in time, and then later finds out that making the choice for that missile resulted in the death of Lois Lane. He didn't actively make the choice to save or not save Lois Lane. That wasn't part of his thought process. Oh, that's worse then. And then he just reverses time and completely undoes it and chooses not to do anything. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But he still is making a choice there. No, he's not. He's undoing any choice he's already made. No, because Jor-El has given him the choice. You cannot interfere with these humans' lives. So he made the choice to go against his father. Oh, and that's when the call for Stingray to come to his rescue. And, yeah, so basically, Adam wants a summary of the last, let's say, 15 minutes of Superman the movie. Basically, he wants
to know... The Donner Cut or...
The Donner Cut's Superman 2.
Damn it. I thought I was going to sound intelligent.
You're not going to out
Superman.
You should
ask him that, though.
Yeah. You're not going to out Superman this guy. Tweet him that. The Donner Cut? Yeah.
I tried to pull a David right there.
Yeah.
And just, like, throw out something, you know. Slimer? It didn't work.
Nope. Not this time. Yeah, so he wants to know the sequence of events so he can properly remember why he's mad or doesn't like this movie. Because he knows it sucks, but he doesn't really know why.
I should give him a false synopsis.
Yeah, tell him something that is just completely not there. Like, give him the end of, like, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. This alternate Superman showed up.
And then he punches the polar bear in the face.
Then he threw the alternate Superman into the sun. What?
But in the end, he let the Wookiee win.
Yeah. Because Wookiees rip your arms off.
Because Wookiees.
Oh, I think we've gone the step too far. Because Wookiees. Because Andrew. I don't know what that means. All right, I've got nothing else. I think I'm done. Does anyone in the chat room care to give their picks? Anyone?
Want to jump in here?
All three of you are on the leaderboard. All three of you participated. That is an emphatic nope from S. All caps. I think if there were font options, it would probably be bold.
And blinking.
Probably. Your nope caused that ad. Again, not bet. That was from BD. Scott is going to kick us a voicemail, which is cool because that means there is voicemail for the voicemail show.
Voicemails are good.
Voicemails are always good.
Hey, I should send out a thing here. Crap, I don't have the information.
What's that?
Let me find the information, then I will tell you what that is.
Oh.
So I don't often pimp the way of the game.
Very seldom.
Yeah.
You pimp it about as well and as often as Adam pimps Iron Tyrants.
I am a fantastic marketer, according to... I don't know. Anyway.
By Luke's standards, yes, you are. Yeah.
it just doesn't come up, and it's like, whatever. So, plus, fucking school. I don't know.
You aren't as shameless as I am.
Yeah, no. I haven't learned well at the teat of the pimp.
I don't think you learn at teats. That's kind of an odd way of putting it. I suppose you can. I mean, if you think about it. But moving on.
I suckle at the teat of your pimping knowledge.
That's
thus I don't better? Learn well from the teat of the pimp. But anyway, one step
too far.
Since there are a couple of people that do voicemails on this show, I'll beg for a couple of voicemails for my own show. We're doing. It probably won't be until mid to late January, but we're going to do our year in review for video games, that kind of thing. And we like to ask for voicemails and contributions on people's favorite game of the year. We take MP3 files via email at feedback@thewayofthegame.net. We own .com now, but it should go to .net. feedback@thewayofthegame.net. And then we also have a voicemail line. It's 203-794-4263. That's 203-794-GAME.
Or if you really want to mess with Jonathan, call there and leave your picks.
You can do that too.
That would get weird.
That would one more place. And you know why it would get weird? Because I don't pay attention to the show until it's Wednesday at like. Oh, by the way, I got these picks, apparently.
All right, so if you do legitimately want your voicemail to show up on the voicemail show and for me to get your picks in a timely fashion, you can leave a voicemail at 618-207-4794. Again, 618-207-4794. Or you can go to the website. There's this big call me button on the left-hand side. If you click that, you can put your own number in it, and it will call you. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to. So you can call from like a landline and have a nice, clear landline signal so you're not getting a cell phone signal. And I get a really nice, clear voicemail. And it's great because it calls you. You don't have to pay for the call.
We've got that too on the site. You could even do that with a payphone, I would imagine. That would be a little weird, especially if you could find a payphone.
If you can find a payphone that accepts calls. Because I know the last time I saw a payphone, it didn't accept incoming calls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that was weird.
I don't know when the last time I saw a payphone was, except maybe at an airport.
Yeah, I saw one just the other day. I don't remember where I was. Oh, I was at the post office. I saw a phone sign, and it was kind of around the corner. And I was like looking down the hall, and it appeared that there was a phone connected to the little box there under the sign. So I assumed it was a payphone. I didn't go and check it out. So apparently, post offices, payphones, that's where they live now.
Huh. So one dying breed and another, I guess.
Yes. That's kind of where I was going with that. It's where the dead go to gather.
I hope none of our listeners are postal workers.
Sorry about that. Look for new jobs. All right.
Check out FedEx.
Yeah, I'm kind of partial to FedEx, actually. All right, let's be done.
Yes.
Next week, Lots of movies. Lots of fun. Encourage your friends to join so we can get lots of people at the bottom of the leaderboard.
Next week, I throw cards into the air. Again.
Yeah. That. We should all find a way to randomly generate picks for next week. Not that they'll be our picks, but just to see which random generator of picks is the most effective. I think that should happen.
I'm in.
Excellent.
Hell, we could make next week our mulligan week, and then just use those as our picks, and then like, oh, these don't count.
No, I'm not doing
it. We want to put out content. Well, I guess you're in a race.
Yeah, so. I'm in a race. I am like tooth and nail to take down BD and not have S surpass me.
Fair point.
Because I see that being the more likely outcome of all this, of S just pulling a 24 this week and basically pissing on everything that BD and I are doing, trying to struggle to get to number one. She's like, F you guys, like BD's it's idea. Mine.
Secret Santa, we all picked for someone else.
Oh. That could get wicked.
Even better, negatives count.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, actually, we could make that work. We could do like maybe like Secret Santa, but you get some share of like whatever divergence there is between how well you do and how well the other person does gets like flipped or something. I don't know.
We could do some very complicated math. We have the technology.
This is true. But anyway.
All right.
S, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, he just doesn't want me to be number one.
I don't want either of you to be number one. Well, then. You are BD at this point.
That's true. We could use some fresh blood at the top of the leaderboard. All right. See you next week.
See ya. Because George Clooney.
Because George fucking Clooney.
Because motherfucking George Clooney.